It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
Welcome back to the Adventures in Business podcast. This is your host, Amy Zander with CD Media. And as always, I'm with my beautiful and wonderful co-host, Lisa Fisher. How are you doing today, Lisa?
Amy, I'm so excited about your upcoming trip. I'm living vicariously through you, through your travels that you're going to be taking. But today we're on another adventure. We're on an adventure in business.
Who are we talking to today, Lisa?
Hey, we have Amy Smith from Dazzle Cleaning Services. Amy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm doing super. Thank you.
And we must say, having her back, you know, technology does a snafu. She was one of our early guests and we were so excited to have her and we just had a little bit of a glitch. So we're happy to have you back. Thank you for being such a great sport.
Oh,
and
let's
tell the listeners who you are and what do you do, Amy?
So I am Amy Smith. I own Dazzle Cleaning Service. We got our start in 1990. So we are not new at this game. And we have taken the last three decades to perfect our practices and specialize in residential cleaning and are building a team of fabulous cleaners in the Lansing and surrounding areas.
Three decades. My goodness, you must have started when you came out of the womb, girl.
I felt like I did, to be honest with you. But yes, I was young.
You know, you have a fabulous story of how you got started doing this. Give us some backstory. What got you into doing the cleaning business?
Sure. Yeah. Got married at 23 and my husband had two kids already from a first marriage. And he worked a kind of a 2 to 10 shift, so a second shift. And we had our kids half time. So who was going to take care of them after school and do the homework thing and the bath thing and all that kind of jazz? So what could I do? My background was in restaurants, and that was certainly not conducive to being a good stepmom. So did a lot of, you know, racking my brain, what can I do? And it was actually a friend of mine who said, Amy, you know what? You love to clean. Your house is always clean. Have you ever thought about just picking up a few houses along the way? So that's really how it started. And I thought it would get me by till I figured out what I would do. And here I am, three decades later, loving it and just building upon it.
So what are some of the challenges that you're facing in your business right now?
You can probably guess, like any small business, hiring. The hiring pool is quite shallow these days, so I can't meet demand. And that would honestly be my biggest hurdle right now. My phone literally rings every day, multiple times with people wanting their house cleaned, and I don't have the team to meet that demand. So it's kind of sad, but the team I do have is amazing. And we continue to try. We continue interviewing. We continue, you know, trying to fight that fight and be able to help as many people that need it as possible. But right now, that's really the hiring issue for every small business owner. So I'm certainly not alone in that.
You have a very unique hiring process. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I don't know if the hiring process is unique as much as maybe my onboarding, maybe my training. I hire for kind of I call them my core values, kind of who I am as a person at heart. And if you don't mesh with that, you're really not going to mesh with Dazzle Cleaning Service. So I don't necessarily look at resumes. I don't really look at experience. In fact, sometimes that's a negative thing if they have lots of cleaning experience, because we do have such a way about us and how we do things that it's hard to break some habits. So if you have a lot of cleaning experience, sometimes you don't fit in well. But the onboarding and the training, I pat myself on the back for that, because I think it's vital to get somebody onboarded in a efficient manner, but also in a way that makes them feel part of the family right from the get-go, and they don't have questions and they don't feel like the new girl on the block or guy. I mean, I hire men too. But so, yeah, I would say the onboarding thing is what kind of sets me apart.
Amy, share with us, what are those core values that you hold so tightly to?
Yeah, volunteering is number one. I love to give back. Like I said, the community has just, it's helped me raise my family all these years. So I want to give back in a community sense of giving back. So I volunteer through free cleanings for cancer patients. I try to give back with, you know, whether it be just volunteering with the local Chamber of Commerce and doing, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we did free candy to trick-or-treaters and we did 400 bags of candy to little trick-or-treaters or whatever, volunteering at the, you know, local Christmas bazaar coming up here in DeWitt in a couple of weeks or about a month. So just being in the community and giving back is huge. So if you are somebody who obviously I pay my team to do those sorts of things, but you got to have a heart for serving. Obviously, we're in a service industry, so serving would be number one. Number two is helping. If you are the type of person that just kind of wants to keep your head down and do your thing, not a good fit, because you know, you walking up a client's driveway and there's trash in the driveway and you don't pick it up and you just step over it, that's a problem. So I want somebody who has a heart for helping out and maybe going above and beyond, not working for free. Again, some people take that to mean I want them to give for free. That's not the case. I just want them to have a heart for that. And then also respect and loyalty, respect our clients, respect your coworkers. So that has to do with, you know, being on time, helping out, going the extra mile, smiling, respecting what our clients' wishes are, you know, just all those things.
My other part that I was thinking when you were sharing about your onboarding process, those core values are amazing, first and foremost, and they resonate well with me. Did you model your onboarding process after another organization, a company? Did you study it? How did you come up with the onboarding model that you follow?
Couple different things. The biggest is goofing up in the first place. So honestly, trial and error. When I first started hiring people, I did it on a 1099 basis. So I had some contractors and didn't go well, did not go well at all. And they had lots of cleaning experience. So they just kind of came in and I told them where to go and they did their thing. You lose all sense of who you are as a company, who you are as a person, how you built it. So a lot of trial and error. And then the other way was reading a book. Honestly, it was, I should have it here to show you guys, but it's called Speed Cleaning. And it literally not only teaches you how to clean efficiently, but it also gave you little tidbits on how to teach other people how to do it. So they didn't necessarily talk about core values and that sort of thing. That's just, I think that comes with age and experience. When you find out that not everything revolves around actually what you do, but who does that for you? I just read a book recently called Who Not How. Absolutely fabulous, fabulous book. And that's just one of those things that came in time. After reading it, I was like, duh, that's just kind of how you do it. But somebody wrote a book recently and is cashing in on it. But I think some of that stuff just comes with age and maturity.
So have you lived in the Lansing area a long time? Did you grow up here?
I did.
Okay. What do you like about working in the Lansing area?
Honestly, I've been traveling a little bit and I like the size. I don't like big cities. I like, while some people might, I remember doing driver's training in school thinking Lansing was like, the driving day in Lansing was just like one of the scariest things in the world. Now it's like, nope, since I've got a little experience under my belt, there's a lot of other places. So I like the size. I like the diversity. I like the change in seasons in Michigan. So lots of things to love about the area.
Can you think of any challenges that comes along with working in this area for your business?
None that I think are any different from any other area. If you're talking about specifically my line of work, no, all cleaning business. I belong to a networking that's kind of countrywide and we're all facing the same struggles. We're all facing kind of the same boom in business right now. While you would think COVID might have hurt cleaning businesses, it actually helped us. There are people, you know, at home more often, making bigger messes or noticing the messes more. You know, it's just really been a good thing for us. I hate to say that, but it's true. So not really anything out of the ordinary based on where we live. Not really.
So another question I have about your industry is, have you seen a big shift in cleaning products and the things that your customers want you to use or go, like going more green or things like that? I mean, there's just a lot of marketing out there as far as the safety of cleaning products? And what has that done to your businesses? Have you shifted, or does it cost, does your products cost more?
Products cost a lot more, and it doesn't matter if you're talking regular, go to the grocery store and pick something off the shelf, or you're ordering online, whether it's green or not. Cleaning products literally have, just like everything else, inflation is just really wreaking havoc on anything that you purchase. But in terms of customers wanting or requesting different things, honestly, no. I was surprised when COVID happened. I did this new 72-point high touch disinfect thing, you know, thinking everybody was going to be about that. They didn't want it. I think of my, at the time, over 60 clients, I offered it free of charge. People were not wanting disinfectants in their home any more than they ever did. They didn't want it around their kids. They didn't want it around their pets. Still, they still want safe products used in their home and nothing real that could be potentially harmful. So I was surprised by that. As far as green, I don't have a single client, and I think I have upwards of 90 now. I don't have a single client that requests green products or has not hired me because I don't. I think the thing that stands me apart a little bit is that I'm willing to use what a client wants. So if what I offer is not something that they want in their home, no problem. I'll use what you supply and put out. But honestly, that doesn't happen.
No. That's interesting. That's an interesting insight into the industry.
It honestly is. Yeah. Now, with my cancer patients, I will say I talk to them a little bit more in depth about what I use exactly, and is this okay? And by and large, it's always been okay. Just recently partnered with a gal who does essential oils and thieves, and she is not only teaching me how to use it, but it's something that I plan to offer as an alternative to people who want it. It's a great product, and I've been using it in my own home and love it. So
absolutely. So I am fortunate to see you every week at my networking group, and I've been learning more and more about your business and hearing you talk about it. And you did a 10-minute presentation a while ago, and one of the things that really stood out to me was how you, and I'm going to say it, I think like you did, that you really like to love on your employees.
Yes.
How you said it. So that was one of the things that I just took away from your presentation. I thought that was so awesome. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I've always just been a person who loves deeply. And I've always been, I come from a family who was a business owner. And I was always taught that your employee is actually your number one customer. I was just raised with that. And I want to be loved well. So I try to love them well, really anybody, but employees, you know, they're, without them, I have no business. So I try to go above and beyond. And it's working well with this current climate we're in right now. It's nothing for my girls to tell me this is the best job I've ever had. I've never had an employer that does the things you do or cares about us the way you care. And I just think right now, more than ever, it's needed. Employees need to feel appreciated. While some people will say, well, that's what their paycheck is for. I'm not that way. Everybody needs to hear a good job once in a while. Everybody deserves to be respected and appreciated. And I try to go above and beyond. The book I'm reading right now, I know that was one of your questions, but I just recently was turned onto it. The 5 Love Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace. I feel like this is right now where we're at. If employers are not appreciating their employees, they're going to walk to find who does. And I have found it's not always about money. It's really not. The generation that we are dealing with right now wants purpose. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding that to be very true in my business too.
So can you give us some examples of specifically the things that you're doing to make your employees feel appreciated?
Yeah, absolutely. So constantly texting them. You know, if I get a text from a client, I screenshot it, send it to them right away. We'll stop at longer jobs, for instance, if it's a move out, and those are just longer and a little bit more draining. I'll stop by with lunch or their favorite Big B drink. When they onboard, I have a questionnaire of all the things that they like their favorite color, their favorite, you know, how they decorate their home. So if I see something that, you know, matches their kitchen, I'll pick up a set of towels or, you know, just little things like that. The other night, this was a couple weeks ago, on my app that they clock in and clock out, it was getting to be like quitting time and they weren't clocking out. So I called them and I said, what's going on? And they're like, this is just taking us a little bit longer. Sorry, we got a little late start. They were just, you know, but who I am, I was feeling bad. So I sent them each, there's an app that I use. I sent them each a pizza. It's a certificate. They could use it that night or not, but I sent them the certificate with a little text that said, thanks so much for working late tonight. Pick up pizza, put your feet up, dinner's on me. You know, just stuff like that. It just, you know, what would I want an employer to do for me? So I'm just trying to always think outside the box and love on them in any way that kind of says you're appreciated.
That's amazing. Oh, well, for anybody out there listening who's looking for a change of job or looking for something new, you know, consider Amy at Dazzle Cleaning, and we'll have all of her contact information in the show notes for sure.
Great. Thank you.
Are you a small business or a nonprofit that wants to market better? Of course you want to market better. Join heavy-hitting marketing agencies and experts at the Michigan Marketing Outstanding Brand Summit. All the big bosses will be there. 17 presentations on cutting-edge topics like brand dominance, how to make a logo that doesn't suck, figuring out what the heck SEO is, launching your own damn podcast, upcoming annoying changes for social media, creating videos that slay, and so much more. Win big prizes and take advantage of exclusive marketing training. Join the ranks of marketing bosses throughout Michigan and meet me, Amy Zander, the reigning marketing mobstress of Michigan. Mark Friday, May 6th, 2022 on your calendar. It's not too far away to start planning now. Follow Zedia Media on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for a chance to win tickets. Visit zediamedia.com for more information and to purchase tickets. That's ZEEDIAMEDIA.com. Your presence will be honored. Your absence will be noted.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to right now in your business?
Wow. Well, I just got done with a big event, Cleaning for a Reason. We did a charity event. So honestly, that took a lot of time and a lot of energy and hard work on my part. So right now I'm looking forward to a little downtime, to be honest with you. That was a big undertaking and it was my first time doing something like that. So it was draining in that I didn't know what I was doing and I learned a lot. So yeah, I'm for the holidays. Right now I'm working diligently in a big Black Friday deal I have coming up. So, you know, just working on getting that put together, get some images and start my social media campaign. Probably should have done it a couple of weeks ago, but it's going to be much like last year. So it's not going to be a whole lot of work, but it's definitely something that I love to do around the holiday time is just try to another thing, give back. It's a real reduced package that I put together. Works great for men. Most men wait till the last minute. And this is a really good alternative for them. So holidays are always fun.
Do you find that you'll get people that'll reach out that just want like a cleaning for the holidays and then turn into like a more normal client? Does that happen this time of year?
Yeah, I sure do. Yep. A lot of people always say, I just want to try you out, or you know, I just want this one time. It might turn on into something more. And it's just a joke because most people who start with a house cleaner die with a house cleaner.
Oh yeah. I've had one for years. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's hard to go back.
Yeah. I had a house cleaning business in high school. And so I cleaned a few houses to make money for college. And
good for you.
And oh yeah. I mean, it was something my mom taught me well. And something I could always fall back on too, which was nice. But when I started this business, I said, when I get my 10th client, I'm going to hire a house cleaner for myself, but also because I like to give jobs to other people too. Right.
Yeah.
And I love on my house cleaners a lot too, because it's just, I used to do it. I don't take it for granted. They are saving me so much time and stress. And so, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've often said, like, if I won the lottery, I'd start a business for like every working woman to have their house cleaned. Because it's like, because it takes so, like, I don't even think about my house anymore. Like, if someone's just going to stop by, I'm like, oh, is it clean? I'm like, of course it's clean. I get it clean. It's fine.
It's an awesome thing. I tell you, I'm on my, what I call my flex schedule. And so I'm the first to go. If something goes afoul, I get knocked off the schedule first. And oh, that hurts so bad.
Yeah.
You know, Amy, you've talked about all the wonderful things that you do for your employees, the things that you do for your clients and everything. How do you keep this upbeat, positive attitude that you're sharing with us today? Because it's not just today, Amy. Every time I see you, you are just glowing and radiant and a joy to be around. How do you, with all the kicks people are taking right now, and even yourself, how are you staying positive?
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. I think for the most part, honestly, it's just who I am. The glass is always half full with me. It just always is. So I always am trying to look on the bright side of things, trying to, you know, make somebody else's day better. But also, I think it's just, I don't want to minimize what I do because it is very important. We're giving time back to families. We're helping get rid of you know, worse germs than ever before. So I don't want to minimize that. But at the end of the day, it's still just house cleaning. We are not saving lives. We are not, you know, performing brain surgery. So at the end of the day, I always just am telling myself, if something messes up the schedule, do I do everything in my power to fix it? Absolutely. I don't want people disappointed. I try really hard to do my best to stand by my word and my schedule and all of that. But at the end of the day, it is just house cleaning. So how can you get your, you know, feathers ruffled if you know, if a toilet has to wait a day? The world hasn't ended. So
right. Keeping things in perspective,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. Has there ever been a time that you have felt like just thrown in the towel, even though it's just house cleaning, which it's not? Amy just attested to it. I attest to it.
Well, I just meant it's all in perspective, right?
Sure. No, I get it. No one's going to die if the house doesn't get clean. Yeah.
Ever wanted to throw in the towel? I would say there was a time I almost did throw in the towel, and it was a physical limitation on my part. My back gave out and I couldn't do it anymore. Physically could not do it anymore. Not to the level that my customers had come to expect and, you know, my own standards. People always say, you know, are your standards too high? They may be, but it's what I built my reputation on. So I almost did. And it was around the time that my husband was retiring from his 30-year career. And he said, are you crazy? There is no way you are giving this up. I got your back. So he did the cleaning with the team for about 6 years without me while I went and did other things and then just kind of ran the business from the sidelines. You know, I did the interviews and I, you know, did the walkthroughs with the clients, all that kind of thing. But the actual cleaning and training, he did. And then when COVID hit, I was at a job at a nonprofit in the Lansing area, keeping the cleaning thing going. I could no longer do that. So I came back home and started back in the cleaning business full time, not cleaning, but just answering the phone and, you know, doing what I do. And it's funny because sometimes I'll say, man, cleaning was easier than this. It's honestly, there's some days I'm like, man, I want to pick up a feather duster again because it can be hard work, but it's rewarding. And I'm glad that life took me through the path that it did because I don't think I'd appreciate it quite as much as I do now.
Does he still work? Does your husband still work in the company?
Yes and no. He doesn't clean. He does like my website and he'll do all the, like when I need insurance, he's going to do all the, you know, figuring out the best place to go. You know, so a lot of computer stuff in the background. If I need him to clean, he certainly will, but don't need him to quite as often anymore.
So you've probably raised your kids to be really good house cleaners, yeah?
I think I raised my kids, actually, it backfired. I think sometimes when you love something, you expect your kids are gonna, it hasn't turned out that much. They're not pigs or anything, but they certainly don't love it. They know how to clean, I will tell you that.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes.
They'll care when it's, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
You know, you brought up a point, you know, you've talked about right now, the struggle is real with getting staff and getting people in to do the work. And as a business owner, Amy, how do you find the time, or where do you find the time to work on the business versus in the business? And I know your husband acts as a piece of support, yet, you know, the struggle is real. Where do you find time to draw that line?
Well, to be honest with you, that's why I don't know how any business owner can build a business while working in it. And I found that to be very true. My business was, you know, it didn't grow for years and years and years because I was cleaning and then my husband cleaned. So it wasn't until I stepped away from all of that and stepped into a CEO or, you know, business owner seat that I could actually build the business. So I will say in about 2.5 years, I took it from about, or 2 years rather, whenever COVID hit, where are we at? It feels like a million years now, but that's only like 18 months, right? So I took it from about 2,500 a month and it's nothing for us to reach about 19 to 20 a month in revenue. So there's no way I could have done that while cleaning. So I have the time now. Do I have the time to do everything well? No, I don't. And would I love to be able to hire an admin of some sort to help me out? Absolutely. Recently hired on I don't even know what they call themselves, recruiting agency, I guess, because what I was struggling with was the applicants. So many were coming through that it was hard for me to not only see if I wanted to interview them, but scheduling the interviews. So this agency has taken off a lot of pressure there. So you just, you know, going back to that book I read, you know, who, not how, I don't have to do everything. And as soon as I can afford to hire another who, that's what I'm about. So I have a list here of who's my next who. And right now I call them wish lists, but I think that's how every business grows. You know, you can't do it all at once. So I put on my, you know, scheduling hat now, and now I'm going to put on my social media hat, and here I'm going to put on my, you know, whatever hat is needed, you know, walkthroughs or follow-up calls with new customers. You know, all that right now falls on me. And you got to do what you got to do. Right now I call it a grind. My husband hates how much I work, but I know it's a season. It's not going to be forever. Yeah.
Beautiful. I love what you just shared. And oftentimes who, not you, is what resonates with people in the training rooms when I'm teaching about time management and leveraging ourselves. Yeah. And I love the fact that you said, this is just a season. Again, that half full glass is shining through and resonating through.
I feel like my business does that too. Like I go through probably twice a year where I find out, okay, I'm working too much in the business. I've either got to delegate more or hire another account manager so that I can go keep going out and selling or whatever. And it's a cycle. Like it happens about twice a year where I have to have that conversation with myself and realize, oh, okay, I'm doing, yeah.
Amy, who would you attribute to being a mentor to you?
Boy, lots of people. Jeff Campbell was the author of the book that I spoke about earlier, Speed Cleaning. While I've never met the man, brilliant. And it was one of those light bulb moments. Like, this is so elementary. It's almost stupid that it took a book to you know, have this go off. But him, my dad and grandfather and uncles, they built a business and built a very successful business and learned a lot from them. Not even so much with them like telling me, but when they didn't know it, I was still watching. I was still learning. It was not a service industry. It was a boat company, in fact, but it was, they still had employees. They still had customers they had to satisfy. So I would say them and their business, and then also cleaning businesses around the world and that I've met through different networking groups. I literally just a half an hour ago jumped off a call. One of them texted and said, who's got 5 minutes to brainstorm an issue I'm having? And there were five of us that jumped in this Zoom call, and we got it resolved to, you know, her satisfaction, and hopefully it'll be resolved with her customer. But so I have people I look up to all around me, and I am so grateful for that.
So what was one of the worst pieces of advice that you ever received as a business owner?
That's pretty easy, actually. I was told early on to discount my services by 50% to get clients and, you know, people that would be my referrals. And that's bad advice. When you're starting a business, you need money. You don't need to discount it. I get where their heart was at, but it was bad business in that first time cleans are the hardest. So why would I discount that? Granted, it was, you know, blood, sweat, and tears in the beginning of a business you're putting forth. But I think if you are worthy on day one, you'll be more worthy on you know, year two, but you're still worthy of a decent, you know, return on your hard work. So that was, I felt that was really bad business. And I'll tell you, the reason why is because somebody who's looking for a deal like that is not my customer. They weren't then and they're not now. They took what they could from that beginning and then I was done. It wasn't something that they, you know, had recurring. Somebody who's looking for a deal is just not my customer. They weren't then and they're not now. So charge what you're worth and be worth what you charge.
Fabulous. So tell us, that was a great piece of advice, but what other advice would you give to other entrepreneurs out there?
Don't think you know it all. Mm-hmm. No, nobody has arrived. I have been doing this for 30 years and I still don't know everything. There is somebody out there who knows more than me. Be open to listening, be open to seeking out that advice too. A lot of people are like, Amy, it's house cleaning. What's the big deal? Early on when I was reading books and trying to kind of hone my skill. Yeah, it's house cleaning, but how can I do it better, faster, more efficient? You know, so yeah, just don't think you've ever arrived because you haven't. It's when you think you have that you really haven't.
Duly noted. Great piece of advice. We need to be learning-based people all the time. I remember reading a story online or maybe on social media about somebody that shared with a housekeeper, clean the light fixtures. So she did. And the person that had hired her wanted to know, you know, she did something different. She just cleaned the light fixtures and it set her apart.
Be better.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm constantly looking at mine.
Yeah.
I clean the light fixtures. I won't see the dog hair. Oh, it's the worst. Awesome. So who should we be speaking to, Amy, that you know that would want to come and share their story with the listeners?
Honestly, this is an easy one simply because B and I was just yesterday, but there were two people there specifically that I think their businesses are maybe just the one, but small businesses, I think, have a hard time being heard or understood or and they have a lot to share. So I would say the Finish Line Cleaning, Finish Line Detailing. I can't remember what her business was called. But anyway, she's a great gal. Her and her husband have a bang up job, business detailing cars. And I think it's called coating, wax coating, or I don't know, something. But anyway, they just sound like they have a great story. And they too had other professions before. And I just think they have something to share. And I only got to hear her for a brief moment yesterday and I wanted to hear more. So I imagine they have something to share.
I love it. You just led right into the reason we have this platform here is BNI is business networking. And oftentimes, whether it's a BNI group or another group, you have 60 seconds to try to convince somebody how awesome you are and that they want to grab a coffee with you, let alone do business with you. So being able to have people come and share all about themselves gives them a great opportunity. So thank you for that. We'll have to definitely reach out. And Amy, I know you're connected well in that group. So
yeah, I'll find out their contact information for sure. That's a great idea for sure. So Amy, is there anything that you want to share with our listeners that we haven't asked you? Anything that they need to know?
Mm-mm. They need to know. Whenever somebody calls me for a cleaning estimate, I try to coach them to get three estimates. Don't take the highest, don't take the lowest. Consider that middle person and don't devalue what somebody does. Just because you can do it doesn't mean it's of lower value. So I think those are the two things I hear the most when it comes to cleaning. If cleaning were easy and quick, let's face it, people would be doing it themselves all the time, but they're not. It's hard work and very labor intensive, and it really takes a toll on somebody's body. Just do your homework, call those references, and don't, this is the biggest thing right now, don't take a deal. There's a company out there with a very similar name to mine, and I get about 5 phone calls a day and them people mistaking them for me. And they're, I think you call it technically like a bait and switch. So they'll clean your whole house for $9 is how they get you in. Can't be done. So when something's too good to be true, it often is. So do your homework, get referrals from your friends and family, and honor what these people are doing for you. It's hard work. And that's one of the biggest reasons I value my team as much as I do. Since I did it, I know what they're doing, and it's hard.
Love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Amy, for being on our show. We're going to make sure that your contact information is included in the show notes, either if someone's looking for employment at a great company or you're wanting your house cleaned. You can share with them what your wait list is or what your time frame is. And
thank you.
Just have a cup of coffee with her. She's amazing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thanks for your time, girls.
Yeah, this has been great. Thank you so much, Amy. I'll see you next week at B&R.
All right. Take care, girls. Bye.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at ZediaMedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to ZediaMedia.com. That's ZEEDIAMEDIA.com and sign up.
This is a Zedia Media production.